It wasn't my emotions, it wasn't my fears, but something strange. Is anybody glad to be filled up with the Holy Ghost? Anybody glad to know Him in spirit and in truth? Tonight we have a request for prayer for Wyatt Siegel. He's going to have surgery in the morning. This is Carl Siegel's son. Let's lift him up right now. Wyatt Siegel. Let's lift him up right now and pray God. Lay his hand on the house and the family and bless this child. Mighty God, we call on your name. We lift this boy up before you. We pray your hand of strength and blessing upon him. We pray, God, that you would bring forth that you've paid the price for by your broken body, that you would send healing down, and that you would do it right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said in Jesus' name. And let's give God praise and thanks for being a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's take a text tonight, Ezekiel chapter 1, and beginning in verse 4. We're making our way through the Old Testament. And Ezekiel is as spirit-driven an Old Testament character as you'll find. Or if you would, a Pentecostal character. Because he has the cognitive. He is a priest. He's trained. You can see the priestly language all through the book of Ezekiel. But he has an affective or a spiritual experience in God. He sees things that are not natural. He has experiences. He is lifted up off the earth and transported. And he's like Philip, who gets transported from Gaza in the New Testament. And Peter, who falls out in a trance on the rooftop. And the power of the Spirit of God is manifest all through these Old Testament characters. This business, this Holy Ghost business, in terms of covenant and everybody having access to receiving the Holy Ghost, is new with the New Testament. But the moving of the Spirit of God on people is as old as God walking with Adam in the cool of the evening. This evening, Ezekiel 1, beginning in verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likenesses, or the likeness, of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Everybody said the likeness of a man. Praise God. If you'll allow me this evening, some people place this in the realm of the unapproachable. Some think that it is a demonstration of God's chosen vehicle for manifestation. He always comes in the likeness of a man. He came to Moses by a burning bush. But he wrestled with Jacob as a man. And he came as Melchizedek to Abraham as a prince or a priest of Salem. And then he sat with two angels that all three looked like men in the door of Abraham's tent at Mamre. And when he was going to come to do his choice work of redemption, he came in the body of a man, the man Christ Jesus. And so many read this description of the cherubim here as a description and a manifestation of the Christ. But I'll tell you, all the Christ was, not to diminish anything that he was, but he was a demonstration of what God wanted you and me to be. We're going to receive a body like unto his glorious body. And Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was. And the corollaries and the parallels are shot through the word of God. So tonight we're going to find you in the cherubims. of Ezekiel. God bless you. You can be seated, and let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We give you praise, mighty God. We magnify you and we bless your name and we lift you up. We're thankful, God, for your word and for the precious gift, for the privilege to handle your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. I love the presence of God. I love your worship and your prayer and your zeal for the things of God. And you can't act like you're acting and not have God show up. And you can't pray like you're praying and not have God move on your behalf. And you can't be as dedicated and as zealous as you are and not have the miracle of God break forth in your life. Somebody say amen. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I'm expecting a miracle. I don't deserve one. It's not about my goodness, but God has made it available and I'm expecting the miraculous. I'm expecting the supernatural. How about you? Praise God. Praise God. Exodus 25 and 17 through 22. And this is the mandate in the law for the construction of the mercy seat. 25 and 17 of Exodus. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Now this is going to be the lid on the Ark of the Testament that will be placed in the Holy of Holies, first in the tabernacle and then later on in the temple of Solomon. And in that tabernacle and in that ark will be the tables of stone with the law upon it and Aaron's rod of authority and the bowl of manna, the golden bowl in which the manna never did go bad because it was housed in the Holy of Holies and overshadowed with the presence, the Shekinah glory of God in that place. And it just speaks volumes to you about all of the powerful things that are available in the presence of God, in his presence, at his right hand. The goodness of God is available if we can get our lives and our families into his presence. And in that place, the manna never goes bad. And in that place, the rod of authority is always powerful. And in that place, the word of God is settled in stone. Praise God. So this mercy seat of pure gold is upon the top of the Ark of the Testament. It is the lid for that Ark of the Testament. And two cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. This is going to be the surface upon which the high priest will sprinkle the blood on the Day of Atonement. And so this is the golden surface on which atonement takes place for Israel. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven with his own blood into a temple not made by men, but into a temple in heavens, he sprinkled his own blood in the heavens on the heavenly earth mercy seat for your sin and my sin, for Adam's sin and Abraham's sin. And our sins were not rolled ahead for 1 year, but they were rolled ahead forever. They were hidden by the blood. He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Somebody that's glad about it, give him a shout for it. Verse 18, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the two ends of the mercy seat. Now, this mercy seat was made out of one piece of gold. And make one cherub on the other end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims. Everybody say, of the mercy seat. You're going to beat the gold on the end of that mercy seat and fashion a cherubim out, growing up out of the mercies of God. The cherubim is, it's not the gold's nature to take that shape. It doesn't just overnight kind of mold itself into a cherubim. But there is a craftsman that begins to work on that by the instruction of God. And when he's done, there are these two cherubim and they are looking one at the other across the mercy seat where the blood is. And their wings, they have four. Two cover their body and two are arched out over across the mercy seat. And their wings touch over the mercies of God. And we did that little demonstration here a few days ago. I was there with Brother Kedrick and we stretched out our wings and we touched. And this is a powerful type, not of the angelic host, but this is a powerful type of who God is doing all this for. This is a powerful image of the fact that you and I touch, but it's not as men, but we touch as celestial beings. We touch in the Spirit. We are born into the family of God by the Spirit of God. It's not a denomination. It's an experience. It's not joining a church. It's being born again of the water and of the Spirit. My God, clap your hands, lift your voice. I feel Holy Ghost a mile deep and 10 miles wide in this house right now. I don't know what God's going to do with us, but I can't wait for what He does next. So the cherubs are instructive as to how we will be shaped and formed by mercies. And God said, I'm going to make you like gold, refined seven times through the fire. That's what He says concerning His people. And the gold is heated and the dross, the impurities are scraped off the top and it's heated up again and the impurities are scraped off and it's heated up again and the impurities are scraped off until seven times it's heated up. And then when the craftsman looks into the gold, he doesn't see a speck. He doesn't see anything amiss there. All he sees is his own reflection. Guess who's making you out of the mercies of God into His own likeness and into His own design? My God, I want to be just like Jesus. But I don't have a prayer. I don't have a hope. But in the presence of God, and there where the blood is applied, and standing on the mercies of God, built by the hand of God Himself. Touch your neighbor and say, we get to hang out in the Holy of Holies. It was just for one man. It was just for that high priest. It was only one time a year. But when Jesus said it is finished, He gave up the ghost. The veil in the temple was torn. The Holy Ghost, the glory of God, broke forth into all the world. And now, men and women and young people and little children can make their way down the dark corridor of the process and the journey and find themselves in the Shekinah glory of God. I've stood in it in the Philippines. I've felt it in El Salvador. I've seen it down in Mexico. I've heard it and felt it and seen it in Africa. My God, it's all over the world. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shall fill the whole earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. My God, we're made out of mercy, so we can't turn mercy off for anybody. Praise God. We don't look at one another based on our faults and our failures. We are locked in a heavenly stare in the presence of God across that place where the blood is applied. So anytime I look at you, I look at you over the blood of God's eternal sacrifice. Praise God. And I'm not looking at your faults. I'm looking at, He's standing on mercy, and I'm standing on the other end. He's standing on mercy. He's made of mercy, and I'm made out of mercy on the other end. And we be brethren by spirit and by mercy and by blood. Well, praise God. Reach over and connect wings with somebody tonight. That's where we touch. That's what matters. That's the only thing that matters, that we're touching in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the cherubims, verse 20, shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, with their spiritual nature, And their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall be the faces of the cherubims. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. There I will meet thee. That's where God meets with us. You stomp your foot and walk out on the people of God, I'm telling you, God meets you in the meeting place. It doesn't mean you can't have a prayer life on your own. But if in your heart you have cut yourself off from the people of God, I'm telling you, you've cut yourself off from God. He said, I'm going to meet with you there at the... Oh, I just stirred up somebody's old hostile spirit. I'm going to go there again and tell you that he's going to meet with you on the mercy seat where the blood is between that place where we touch. Give me some wang. And from that point on, it was known as wang. We be brethren and we have wangs. But that's where God said, I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to meet you in a place where you understand the blood is between you and your brother, where you're touching in spirit, and where you're standing on mercy, and where you have by will allowed God to shape you into something you never would have been or could have been on your own. Praise God. Praise God. Are you resisting the hand of the craftsman? You can't stand in the Shekinah of God. Well, God, you know, I understand you're trying to shape me here, but I really do want to be like the Philistines. I really do want to be like those people in the world that I see out there. I really do want to look like them and act like them and go where they go. And I really... And God can't work with you. And he'll just walk away from you and leave you alone until your will... I tell you what he might do, though. He may turn up the fire. Because almost anything will become pliable if you turn up the heat enough. Anybody here ever had God turn up the heat on you? And did you become more pliable? Yay, Lord. Praise God. And there I will meet you. I will commune with you from above the mercy seat between the two cherubims. Now, cherubim is what Ezekiel saw there as he's sitting by the river Chebar. The heavens are open and he sees visions of God. And this is what he sees, a whirlwind in verse 4, chapter 1 of Ezekiel, and a great cloud and fire. And verse 5, out of the midst, the likeness of living creatures, and they had the likeness of a man. He got a distinct impression of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. Now, the four faces have been taught for centuries as the four natures of God. But I want to suggest to you that not only is this applicable to God manifest in the flesh, but those qualities have to be in my life and in your life also. Because we want to be like Christ. We want to manifest what he is like. Somebody say praise the Lord. I don't want to be like my daddy and I don't want to be like my grandpa. I want to be like God. I want to follow after the one that walked in perfection on the earth, and I want to live in glory with him forever. Praise God. Everybody say four faces and four wings. Now the wings are your spiritual nature, and the faces are going to be manifestations of different qualities of a godly nature. Verse 7, their feet were straight feet. Everybody said straight feet. My God, it's the indication of a made up mind, not feet that are wandering off to the Bible says, turn not to the right nor to the left. Have you heard the truth? And are you walking? Come on, I'm, that was a question. Have you heard the truth? And are you walking in the truth? Have you seen the way? And are you walking in the way? Have you erred and stepped off in your own way? How about your feet tonight? We got a good look at your feet Friday night. gnarly feet. When I asked the guys, I just saw the guys, but man, we have gnarly feet. And God bless you if you're a guy and you get pedicures, but I'm too far out in the country. I just don't understand it. But if I had fingernails like my toenails, I could climb a rock face barehanded. But we're not talking about the beauty of your feet. We're talking about the direction of your feet. David said, he set my feet on a rock. I'm telling you, God is interested in your feet. Everybody tell your neighbor, you need to have straight feet. That means you're going God's way. You're not going in a crooked way. Everything that's amiss has to be made straight. He said, I looked at them and they had straight feet. And the sole of their foot was like the sole of a calf's foot. Do you know what a cow's foot looks like? Do you know which end of the cow gets up first? Go and study and learn and be wise. Brother Mike, you're from Mississippi. Which end of the cow gets up first? The back end. That's right. The back end of the cow gets up first, and his foot is a hard piece of tissue that allows him, like it does a horse or anything else, to clop, clop, clop over all kinds of obstacles and hard things, and never, he's not all tenderfoot like some of us. You remember how it was when you were a kid and you could run full bore down a gravel road? How many of you have ever seen a gravel road? And you really didn't have trouble till you hit a real sharp stone and you got one of those stone bruises. But otherwise, you could walk on brambles and briars and snakes and all kinds of things, and your feet were so hard, they were like leather on the bottom. Anybody ever had that experience in the summertime out in the country? Well, these folks have feet. They're harder than that. They're like calves' feet. Matter of fact, they look like burnished brass. You know where else I've seen that description? I see that description on the Isle of Patmos when John sees the glorified Christ and his feet said, he said his feet look like they've been burning in a fire. I'm telling you that as you live for God and as you yield yourself to God and as you become a part of the pattern and the program of God, not only will your feet be straight, but your feet will become hardened in that direction so that nothing can move you and nothing can turn you, and you won't be stomping your feet on anything that's going to do you any damage. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm talking about the cherubim of God. They are indicative of our walk in God tonight. I want my feet to be straight, and I want them to be so hard that I can walk on the devil's head every day and not get hurt. Somebody dance on his head just for a little bit here tonight. My God, do you remember Brother Dross dance? No, you got to go in a circle. Some of you don't want to dance on the devil's head. All right. He said, or didn't he, that you're going to tread on serpents and scorpions? Did he say it? You better have some feet that can take it. You better have your feet burnished in the fire. That means you've walked in some hard places, some hot places, and you haven't turned back. You've walked in some difficult places, but you've not turned aside. And after a while, you developed a nature so that you could continue to walk for God. There have been many in these 35 years I've been walking this way. There have been many that have said, this is too tough. I can't walk here. This is too difficult. I don't want to walk this way anymore. This hurts too much. I can't do this anymore. But I'm telling you, it has been worth it. Every mile that we have traveled, it has been worth it. And you know, the things that used to bother me, they don't bother me anymore. The things that used to hurt me, they don't hurt me anymore. But my feet are becoming like burnished brass. Praise God. Verse 8. They had the hands of a man. And so you see the work and the nature of a man indicated by the hands on these beings. They had the hands of a man, but everybody say they were under their wings. They hid their hands under their wings. The works of man hid under their spiritual nature. I know you've got a natural manly human nature. I know that somewhere down in there you've got an Adamic nature, but we are hidden in Christ. We are hidden in God. He said, how many times have I wanted to cover you up like a mother hen covers her little chicks? And if you've ever seen that, all you see are their little feet sticking out from the bottom of that big puff of feathers. That's how God covers us up. But in the spirit, you want to walk so that your natural work is hidden. You may be great at your natural work. You may be very accomplished at your natural work. But the thing that is primary in your life is your walk in the spirit. Because the natural things won't last. But that spiritual connection is going to be with you 500 years from now. 1,000 years from now. 10,000 years. And on. Praise God. Their hands under the wings. Your nature hidden under your spiritual nature. And so when your old nature begins to try to rise up, you keep it hidden. You keep it hidden under your wings and under your spiritual nature. When your old anger wants to rise up, you keep it hidden. When your old hard-headed natural man or woman wants to rise up, you keep it hidden. And you put on the new man and you act like the Christ, whether you feel like it or not. This walk, by the way, is not about feelings. It's about what you do. It's not about how you feel about it. It's just that you get it done. Somebody say amen. Amen. Their hands under their wings, on their four sides, and their forehead, their faces, and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. And there's that picture again from the Holy of Holies. But here there are four of them together and not two. And they are joined together at the point of spiritual contact. We are gathered here tonight, a disparate group from every kind of cultural background and from every kind of economic and educational strata. We come from different neighborhoods. We come from different lives and lifestyles. We come from different generations. But in the moments of worship and in the moments of prayer, we are all locked together and knit together. And we stand and we amen the same word of God. And we stand and we worship the same mighty God. And we live under the same banner of the same name. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and tell them we're family. We got the same daddy. We're filled with the same spirit. We're blessed by the same name. My God, are you glad to be a part of the family of God? Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. But there's a lot of us we never would have met. We never would have embraced. We would never have smiled at one another and shared with one another and fallen in love with one another. We never would have. But here the net of God has captured us. And drawn us inexorably into the will and purpose of God. And we've been fashioned by the hand of God into something that we were not. The Bible says we were not a people, but now the people of God. We were aliens and strangers cut off from the commonwealth of God. But now he's broken down the wall that separated us and the two have become one. Praise God. And so we call one another Brother Ken, Sister Deborah, and Brother Nick, and Brother Augustine. And I thought that was so strange and a little bit cool when I first came to a Pentecostal church. And I said, they all call one another brothers and sisters. I remember when the two young ladies came into the trailer out in the middle of the field there outside Baton Rouge, and the moon was bright and the Spanish moss was hanging from these big old oak trees, and they had their little Bible study case, and they came walking up into a place where all kinds of things had gone on in that house. And they walked in, and we were all long-haired freaks, and they showed us prophecy in the Bible study. And one was Sister Pat and the other was Sister Dana. And I thought, they call one another sister. They're nuns. and you can't quite figure out what they are. They're different than anything I ever met before. They talk differently. They act differently. They've got a different camaraderie. And then we came and visited them at church. And then they all are like that. It's those people. And now we are those people. And Mario, we never would have known one another. Not like we know one another now. I have 500 cheeseburgers invested in you. And the Lord only knows how much pizza and other stuff. We're connected here. And never would have been. Is anybody here just fascinated with the kingdom? And anybody here just love the kingdom of God and its strangeness? My God, I love the way the church. I don't ever want you to quit calling one another brother and sister. Raise your children to call elders brother and the ladies sister. Raise them up that way. You're maintaining a tradition and a culture that is powerful. When Ananias came to get Paul, and Paul had been a killer of the church, he said, "Brother Saul," he called him brother before he ever was. Their wings were joined together. They turned not when they went, verse 9. And they went, everyone, straight forward. Everybody said they all went straight forward. They all went together. They didn't turn in the way. They heard, they were moved on by the Spirit of God, and they all went the same way. Have you felt it in the service? Can you feel it in the prayer times? The surges of Holy Ghost that come through this house, and we that know our way around in the Word and in the Spirit, we all move together. We're so very comfortable in the firestorm of the presence and the moving of the Spirit of God. We all go straight together, and we all know what's happening down in that altar. And when somebody's praying, we know how to be a part of that. And when somebody's seeking, we know how to be a part of that. And when the word's going forth and it's making something happen in the heart of a stranger, we all know about that. Well, praise God. And we all go straight forward. And we don't turn to one side or the other. And we do it all joined together. Praise God. The Bible says Israel was like an army, terrible with banners. Can I tell you that the church is like an army, terrible. The word there means awesome with banners. Praise God. We are marching. Let me tell you something. A church this size with passion in its heart can shake a city from center to circumference. A church this size right now. We are perfectly positioned right now to shake this city for the gospel and for the name of Jesus. No, I don't think you heard me. I don't think you heard what the Holy Ghost is saying in this house. The enemy wants to divide you. The world wants to divide you. But I'm hooked with you. I'm connected with you. And I'm telling you, I ain't going to let nothing turn me round. We're going straight forward. And I'm going with the people of God. My God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's not a matter of if I'm going to be apostolic. That's long ago and far away. Is there anybody in the house that's already made up your mind? It's not a question of if I'm going to heaven. I already made up my mind alone. You say, how can you know? He made a promise. He never lies. I'm going to heaven. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, tell hell I'm not coming. Anybody here with a made up mind? Anybody glad to be a part of the church of the living God? Anybody glad to be connected with the people of God? I'm not ashamed of the church. I'm not ashamed of the church. I'm not ashamed of the people. I'm not ashamed of the weirdness. I'm not ashamed of the holiness. I'm not ashamed of the worship. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of his name. I'm not ashamed of a moving of God. I'm not ashamed of people falling out in the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of an altar full of men weeping. I'm not ashamed. And if you are, you need to let God turn up the heat, fashion you a little more firmly. My God, I can't understand. I just can't understand. I've already crossed over, Brother Dwayne. And I know you're a lunatic. Forget it. If you're already plugged in and locked down and not turning and glad to be connected, just say, forget about it. That's Italian for I'm not turning back. Forget about it, Brother Will. I'm an apostolic from the top of my bald head to my gnarly feet. Forget about it. Forget about it. I've had offers. I've had hindrances. I've had the lying devil come to me. We've had all kind of excitement in 35 years. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I want to see what it's like on the other side. Their faces straight. And they don't turn. They went everyone straight forward. Verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle. And you may have seen leadership material that explores the potential of the figurative language here and the typology here. But I really do think that these are the qualities of the man Christ Jesus. And I think that radiates down to his church and to his people who are his children, who are his sons and daughters. And those that live for God and those that stand. Now, when we get to the end of this story, and I don't know if we'll make it to the end tonight, but when we get to the end of this story, Ezekiel said, I saw above them the likeness of a throne, and on the throne was the likeness of a man, and the voice of God came to him. So God was enthroned on the shoulders and above the spiritual experience of these four. And God inhabits the praises of his people. They four had the face of a man. And you've got to have that quality of humanity and compassion. And that's what this face of a man is all about. The power to empathize. The power, even though you're walking in the promise of God and things are going well in your life, you can see somebody that's in trouble and you can empathize with them. Somebody that's lost and you don't become a Pharisee and forget that you used to be on the outside. But you can still empathize and you can still feel with a man's heart compassion for somebody that's on the outside. How many times did we see Jesus moved in the Gospels by compassion? Just simply by compassion, had a feeling for people's hurt and a feeling for people's needs. And you've got to have that. It's not good enough that you're safe. But part of the makeup of a child of God is a heart that is able to be touched not only by God, but by man. Part of the makeup of a child of God that's going to last in the kingdom of God is a heart that is the master's heart, who leaves the 99 and goes to look for the one, who turns on the light and breaks out the broom and starts looking for the one that was lost. And so the church of the living God has a heart of compassion. They had the face of a man, and they had the face of a lion. I don't do lion very good. But just for the sake of it, I want you to roar at your neighbor just a little bit. What do they call you at school, Mariah? Church girl? Hey, church girl, I see you got some chocolate cookies in your lunch bag. You know God said it's good to give. Isn't that awesome? That she goes to church, that she goes to school, and they call her church girl. Praise the Lord. Praise the A lot of our girls have the moniker skirt girls. You know, the skirt girls. And they think they're all sisters, but they can't quite figure it all out. And they're right. And they're right. They all are sisters. I saw some of them skiing the other day in those skirts. The question is, what if you can't do that in the skirt? Well, don't do it. I run into people at the hospital all the time over there at St. Vincent's East. And I'm on another floor on the other side of the hospital. And I say, maybe to a nurse that's in the room. We were talking to Brother Joe's little nurse in there the other day. And we were talking to her. Brother Joe was witnessing to her and trying to get her to come to church. And I said, my daughter works up on the next floor down on the other side there in the cardiac ICU. And she said, really? I said, yeah, she wears skirts. I know her. Only person in that house that wears a skirt. Why? Because it's a biblical principle. Because it's a part of living for God. But I'll tell you this. There's more than that. You go to trying to provoke this church girl. And I'll tell you what you'll get. You try to lure her into those narrow canyons and alleyways of sin. You know what you're going to run into there? I believe there's a little bit of lion down inside of that gal. I believe you'll run into a little something. What do you think? Wang. What do you think? Growl a little bit if you feel that way about the kingdom of God. The devil, your adversary, the devil, goeth to and fro in the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know the only thing that can turn a lion around is a bigger lion. That lion's not afraid of anything but a bigger lion. Well, I want you to know I am a part of something that's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Roar! Come around my house. Brother Bart is a mild-mannered guy. And if you don't know him, you'd be surprised to find the level of insanity that moves in this guy and his brother. Some of you don't believe that. But I'll tell you this. Devil comes fooling around with these babies. He's a mild-mannered guy. Everybody at Phillips loves him. I can guarantee you that. I'll just tell you right now. Everybody with sense. But you let that mild-mannered man start smelling that old Lucifer coming around his house. He'll find himself a place of prayer. Roar! Roar! Now I want you to get this. We went on a safari in Botswana, well, in northern part of South Africa. And we were riding in this modified Toyota Land Cruiser. And they just put bench seats up through the back of it. And the guide is out front, and he's got a rifle, but it's bolted down. And I'm watching him close because I'm thinking, there is no way under God's heaven that he's ever going to get that rifle into action if something bad starts happening here. And they said, if something carnivorous comes toward the truck, be still, because they just see one big truck. They just see one big thing. They don't see the little thing sitting in the truck. But I'm thinking, what if he decides to bite it right here? You know, I'm not at all comforted by their little tutorial in the beginning of the thing. And so we're out one night, and he's got this big spotlight, and we hit a pride of lions. And it's just so awesome, that light shining on them, and they're running through that savanna grass about that high, and there's a bunch of them, about 20 of them. They're all moving through there. And then he locks up the brakes because he almost did something that would have been disastrous for us. He almost came between mama and babies. And mama was about as far away as Tasha is right there from me. And I'm looking at her thinking, I'm just one big truck. I'm just one big truck. I am a hubcap. And she, friend of mine, she was preaching. She was up on almost her back haunches. She was raking the sky with that hand, with that paw, and she was letting you have it. She was letting you know, you're not going to fool with my babies. You're not going to get between me. And I wonder if there's a mama in this house tonight that would say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if anything tries to get between me and my baby, she's got a face like a man, and she's got a face like a lion. Is there a dad in this house that would say, don't get between me and my family. Don't get between me and those things God has set me in authority over. My God, somebody lift up a roar to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I tell you, God feels the same way. Something begins to move against his children. He's not the humble Nazarene. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's already put his heel on the head of my adversary. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift up a voice. Let's lift up a shout. Roar! Okay, you got a baby on the way. Devil's going to try to take him. Is it a boy or a girl? Luca. The devil's going to come after Luca. Oh, yeah, he's coming. Well, he's coming. It's his job. You punch in, he punches in. Good morning, good morning. He's a faithful devil. He's coming after Luca. He's already got him on his list. He's sorry that he wasn't aborted. And so when he comes, what are you going to do? She's going to roar.
Roar!
No, I want everybody in the house to roar a little bit at the devil tonight. In your praise, in your praise, in your prayer, in your praise, in your prayer. You don't want to get between me and what God has given me. Rah! Ah! A Congolese lion. With a French accent. What is it? Lion? Lion? Roar, Leon. This is pretty good. We need to explore this a little bit. What did y'all do in church last night? Well, you got to be there. The face of a lion on the right side and the forehead, the face of an ox. Now, look, ladies, don't take this too seriously. The face of a man and the face of an ox. So what's she look like? This is a spiritual application. And when it says man, it's a generic term that means mankind. So for ladies, she's got the face of a lady. For men, she's got the face of a man. But they all forehead the face of an ox. And an ox is a beast of burden. And you can put an untold measure of weight on the shoulders of an old plodding ox because he has the heart and the brawn of a servant. And this is a type of Christ because he bore all of our sins all the way up the Via Dolorosa, all the way up Calvary's cross. It wasn't that cross member of wood that crushed him down into the stones. But it was the weight of my sin that caused him to stumble and fall. But he got up out of the grit with blood dripping in his eyes. And like a faithful ox, a servant of mankind, bore our sins to the top of Golgotha. And told the guy with the hammer, you're not taking my life. I'm laying it down. I'm doing this by choice. And so all of us, Sister Maria, have the quality of the ox. The strength and the heart and the will that says, God, if you need somebody, put the load on my shoulders. I'll carry it. We used to sing a song that said, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he can carry you. I want you to know that a church is made up of all kinds of people. And in that crowd, Brother Ronnie, there are those who are crossed over and strong and able. And there are those who are new and young. And those that are able and willing, they carry the new ones. And they carry the young ones. And such is the nature of the kingdom of God. Not everybody carries the weight of the church. And this is somewhat a seasonal thing. Because sometimes your life goes into a season of trouble. The loss of a loved one. Or a traumatic event. And you're just wasted and blasted. You go through a season of burying a parent. Or down to the graveyard with a loved one. Or a season of tremendous sickness. And you will be blasted for months and months. And just able to put a foot in front of the other. And it's like a fog lifting some months later. And you say, I've been gone for a while. I haven't really been strong enough to do much anything for a while. But that's the beauty of the church. Because there's always somebody there that'll carry. While you can't, somebody will be carrying the prayer load. While you can't, somebody will be carrying the worship. While you can't, somebody will be carrying the finances. While you can't, somebody will be carrying the evangelism. Somebody say amen. There'll always be this seasonal aspect to it. But one of our qualities as we are like him is the quality of the old servant, the oxen. That is not a very exciting picture. And hard for some of you to really identify with. But in your heart, you've got to be open to that old ox-like attitude. I want you right now, lift up your heart to God. And I want you to just tell him, God, if you have a job to do, I'm willing and I'm able. God, if you've got a child that needs someone to carry them for a while, I am willing and I am able. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Give me a little bit of something here. Why don't you give us that thing we did Friday night afterwards? I pray for you. And why don't we come down around the altar tonight? And as you come, find somebody to link wangs with. Verse 10 concludes with, they also had the face of an eagle. And the old song that quotes Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There are people trying to come up. Step up on these risers here. Come on, step up. Make room. That's right. God bless you. Come on. When this gets too hard and this gets to a place where it's sapping your strength, God has given you a quality that by prayer and praise, Isaiah says you can ascend like an eagle and have your strength renewed. You do that in prayer. You do that in praise. You make your way to the place where things on the earth look very tiny, and you're close enough to touch the face of God. Tonight, I want you to just, as you're linked up there together, I want you to just begin to praise God for letting you be a part of the Church of the Living God. Now, if there's somebody there by you that does not have the Holy Ghost, I want you to help them to pray through and receive the Holy Ghost right now. Just take a look. If there's somebody there by you in this atmosphere, they can receive the Holy Ghost just like this. If you don't know, ask them. Pray for me. I love you. I won't harm you.
I won't harm you with words. With words from my mouth.
I love you.
I need you to.
I pray for you.
I pray. You pray for me.
I love you.
I need you to.
I'll never harm you.
I won't harm you.
With words
from my mouth.
Hallelujah.
I need you to survive.
I pray
for you.
You pray
for me. I love you.
I need you.
I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you.
I need you
to survive.
I pray for you.
You pray.
Let's lift up some praise.
I pray for you.
You pray for me.
Oh, I love you. I need you to.
I'll never harm you.
I won't harm you. With words from my mouth. I love you.
I need you to survive.
I pray for you.
You pray for me.
Oh,
I love you.
I need you to.
I'll never
survive.
Harm. Praise God. Clap your hands into Him and bless His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch wings with somebody there around you. Tell them we be brethren. We're sisters. We're family. By name, by spirit, by blood.
With words from my mouth, I love you.
I want you to tell them something really important. I want you to tell them, I can't see your faults because I'm standing on mercy and we got blood between us. Tell them you look pretty good to me. You look like a child of God. Praise God. Glory to God. Isn't it awesome to be a part of the Church of the Living God? Praise God. Before we break up tonight, lay your hands on somebody right there by you and pray an anointed prayer for them that they prosper in all they do, that the strength of God be poured out on their lives. Bless them abundantly, God. Pour it out. Strengthen. Bless. Anoint. Help, encourage, give direction, prosper them, oh God. Hallelujah. While you're praying for them, break forth in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost pray.
You pray for me.
praise God. God bless you. So good to be in the house with you tonight. Remember, there's prayer here on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday. We're going to have an apostolic service here. This coming Friday night, our first youth service, it's called Ignite. The young people are going to be singing and providing the music and the ministry. And we're expecting God to rain down in an awesome way. Sister Linda, at some point we need to get some cards made for these Ignite services. It'll be once every month. And we need to get some of those just generic cards to invite people to church like we had all through last year. We need a pile of those. Just use the old motif. Don't wait for the new sign. Just get us something to hand out. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you again in the house of God. We'll see you. Elders team meeting in the prayer room. Post haste. Youth team needs to meet with all the young people under 18 and their parents, I guess, over here in this corner right now.